CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, my buddy said, oh, a bit of old school. Yes, some mojo. Adriano says this morning in WeChat, remember you can message us on WeChat if that's where you listen to us anytime you like. Just message to screen. It pops up right in front of us. It's great. So we can see what you're thinking. See what you want us to see. Some people send us pictures of themselves naked. Some people send us interesting thoughts. Some people send obscenities. It's really all up to you. Adriano says, Gareth, your Bernie Sanders impersonation makes you sound like a Jewish Rocky Balboa.
Adrian! Adrian!
And MBK says, song request, Kanye West. Okay, well, we'll see if we can do that. And Flax has promised us an interview with his bestie, a.k.a. Any idea when that will be? We'll find out. All right, let's get into Mabale's news and see what the hell's happening in the world. And, of course, you can call us to 0861-555-189. I keep mentioning it because I think people are still not sure whether they can. Remember, the news, Ben's sport, me talking, everything here is optional. When you come on with a call, everything else goes on hold. So you get priority. We stop everything for you, like a press conference when Fikile Mbalula walks in. All right.
After the president issued his apology, after the whole Con Court decided that he had violated the Constitution, we spoke on this show about how it was time for us as citizens to get involved and to become active. And it seems that that is about to start happening, Gareth. There's a broad initiative of civic and faith-based organizations, social movements, and activists who have decided that they're going to get together to escalate the call for the president to resign. They are the so-called People's Consultative Assembly. They were born on the steps of the Con Court's ruling on April the 6th. It's basically South Africans from diverse backgrounds that have united under one banner for equality and social justice to call for the president to step down. It is founded by ordinary people and people's movements and organizations to rise up, raise their voices, and defend our democracy. They issued a statement saying that we call on all the concerned and affected people living in South Africa to join the dialogue for national actions on the 27th of April, 2016. That is, of course, Freedom Day, which is just around the corner. And they're calling on everyone to make this a day of action. This year, we must use Freedom Day to reclaim a freedom that has been stolen by the president and his cronies, according to this organization's spokesperson.
Yeah. Gweta does not like this, by the way. He said that it's wrong for people to do this, for civic organizations to get together and ask for the president to resign. He said that's wrong. How do you like that, huh? What a guy this president of ours, this secretary general of the ANC is. It's wrong for us to have a voice. How dare we speak up?
Ah. The truth of the matter is I don't even think this affects the president in any way, shape, or form. I don't think he's truly bothered by anything that we have to say.
No.
Because just for his birthday yesterday, he said, oh no, my one and only birthday wish is to see South Africa become a better place for all.
Then go. Yeah. How about you give us a birthday present? Huh?
He says, I wish for our country to continue working together to address our common challenges, particularly in these difficult economic climates of joblessness, rising fuel and food prices, and high levels of poverty and inequality.
Hey, inequality. You know what, Mr. President? Thanks for saying all of that. If you go, all of that gets better. All of it. I'm not making it up. Look what happens when you're weak, the rand is strong. When you're strong, the rand is weak. That's how it works, Mr. President. You know? Anyway, all right.
Anyway. So that will be on Freedom Day. where the People's Consultative Assembly said that they are planning on organizing countrywide events to create platforms to seek solutions for securing the president's resignation.
Isn't that right, Mr. Montashe?
No.
Yes, that's right.
No.
No, it's right. It's right.
No.
All right.
Okay.
What
you
else
know
is
what?
Going on?
It must be pretty damn difficult to be a parent in modern times. Sexting is becoming commercialized in Gauteng schools, with learners now selling sexual content to their friends.
This is only a matter of time.
Yo, Vatong, I am so glad that I am nobody's mother.
Listen, when times are tough, people will sell their bodies. Don't you know that's a rule? Unspoken rule all over the world.
The University of South Africa's Bureau of Market Research have been conducting investigations where they basically analyzed technology usage and behavior in 11 of Gauteng's high schools.
Yes.
At a youth research conference in Pretoria. And they basically revealed that some learners snapped or filmed sexual content at school and then sell it to their friends at other schools.
Not surprised.
12% of the participants in the survey said that they have sent sexually suggestive nude images of themselves to others via text. 72% of the participants said that they regretted doing so. 38% say that they formed new relationships with unknown internet users while on the web. And then according to an American pastor...
Can you imagine how much vagina and penis there is out there at the moment? I think everybody's is eventually going to get out there. It's like Ben said yesterday. Eventually, it won't be a big deal because everyone will go, oh, let's look up, you know, everybody's dick pic. It'll all be out there. And everybody's breasts.
Yeah, it'll make LinkedIn relevant again.
You'll have it on your LinkedIn profile.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, you see, this is what happens, is that a lot of teenagers in America have and are leaving Facebook annually because their parents are monitoring them on this platform. And so these kids decide, screw that, mom and dad, I'm moving to Instagram, or I'm moving to Snapchat, or I'm moving to any other platform that you don't know exists just yet so that I can continue sending nude pictures of myself and then also making money off of it because now they're making it commercially viable.
If you could score $50 and you need to buy some weed and all you need to do is snap your vagina, you better believe you're going to, right?
But here's where the problem comes in, which is why I'm relieved I'm nobody's parent.
Oh.
In the U.S., children as young as 7 years old are sending nude images of themselves.
Do you even know what that is at seven?
Apparently they do. Now, this is a problem. Mm-hmm. And who do we blame? Do we blame the Kardashians? Who do we blame?
You're in grade one if you're seven.
And you are sending nude pictures of yourself somebody else.
That is very disturbing.
This is seriously problematic. And now it's on the rise in Gauteng schools, which means that it's probably happening in any other school as well in this country. They just happened to conduct this study on Gauteng schools. Mm. But that's what's happening in schools. Kids are selling nude pictures of themselves to each other.
Sure. No, this is very scary. And especially if it's very young kids. I mean, you know, if you're over the age of 18, who cares, really? Do what you want. And if you're older than that, if you're over 30, who cares? Who wants to see you? You know? What the hell? What is that? Sounds like we're being attacked by monsters.
This side.
I hope they finish soon. If you're wondering what's going on, the zombies are attacked.
And they have power tools.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Zombies are coming to kill us and they've got power tools.
The DIY did.
Anyway.
Hey, but staying with sex in South Africa, we're clearly right up there on the kinky map because according to Google searches...
Hold on, Sia.
Is a current.
It sounds like Gwede Mantashe is busy drilling something. What's that, Gwede?
The character that appreciates that its primary responsibility is to mobilize and organize all classes on strategy.
All right, and Guedes just busy with the drill, sorry.
Well, he's quite the multitasker because he's obviously also, you know, talking about something serious and
that's
drilling
quite a talent.
At the same time.
He's got to wield many different tools at the same time. He's the Secretary General of the ANC. He has to pretend to be in favor of the president and against him at the same time. He's got to be as two-faced as possible. So he uses the one face to look at the drill and the other face to talk to you.
Tough job.
Hell yeah.
So, according to Statistic Brain Research Institute, straight after the US and the UK, South Africa actually registered the third highest number of Google searches for adult toys. So we are clearly getting our freak on in the best ways possible. So yeah. The entire sex toy industry is valued at $15 billion. 70% of those toys are manufactured in China, and which 20% is exported to South Africa. Yeah, you know what? Good for us. And when you actually look at, they break down all of this research, supposedly the average shopper spends more than 1,000 rands on sex toys. And so they looked at different boutiques which sell high-end sex toys, even in South Africa. And those owners have been saying that their clients can easily also spend between 1,000 rand and even 7,000 rand on sex toys.
You see, those toys are not cheap.
No.
Vibrators are not cheap.
On vibrators, actually, that is supposed
to... We shouldn't even call them toys, because that's what... makes it sound like they're cheap nonsense.
Yeah.
These are expensive devices.
Most people actually own vibrators at 38%. That's the most popular toy in sex toys, really.
I was talking to a girl the other day. She and her boyfriend, they went shopping for sex toys and bought a whole bunch. So it's obviously a thing. But you know what? If it keeps your relationship happy and interesting and healthy, go for it. Not everybody needs these things.
Exactly.
No, don't go for it, Gareth. According to at least one Christian author, Mac Major, he says that female masturbation is a direct path to Satan.
Oh.
Sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of the giant dildo downstairs. It's a what? An instrument of Satan?
It's a direct path to Satan. Mac Major of Eden Decoded has taken to Facebook to warn that too many Christian women are losing their salvation because they masturbate. Dildos and all those other sex toys have been used for thousands of years in demonic sex rituals, he writes.
Oh, really?
It's one of the main ways ancient pagan societies worshipped their demonic gods.
With dildos?
This is what Mac Major says.
I love the way these guys who haven't even been within 3 foot of a vagina know so much about dildos and things. Doesn't that make you a little bit nervous about them? Mr. Majors, where did you learn this? Where did you observe these things yourself? Because you certainly didn't get it from being pious on your knees in the church reading the Bible. So where exactly were you hanging out? What pagan rituals have you been a part of? And I've never met a Satanist. Like a real one. You know, that could be Satan downstairs right now with all that noise, but...
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder.
I've never met a full-blown, hardcore Satanist who actually believes all of that stuff for real. Have you?
No, I can't say that I have.
No, I mean, I've met people who say they're Satanists, but they're just looking for attention. They're like goths.
I think it was once in.
Yeah.
It was trendy to be a Satanist, whatever.
Well, there was that whole alternative rock movement, and people used to wear Doc Martens and... black eyeliner, and it had dark hair, and you know, it was slightly leather and sexy and all that kind of thing, but they were just attention seeking. They didn't really pray to Satan. I don't know why all these Christians are so afraid of Satanists. They don't even seem to have an organization. It's not like you can go knock on the Church of Satan and like thousands of people are busy in there all the time. If you're lucky, it's a small coven of losers who couldn't make it in high school. Why all this fear about them? Have you ever met one, Ben?
I've met some tryhards, but they just listen to, like, death metal.
Yeah, but they're not real. I mean,
not real,
these people couldn't actually, like, sacrifice a cat or a baby or anything, right?
No.
No.
Well, some of them try. I mean, there's some pretty horrible stories that have been in the news about teenagers who said that they were performing some sort of demonic ritual and then somebody ends up dead. I mean, that's murder, but, you know, they say that they were doing it because they're Satanists or whatever.
More people drive cars into each other every day than these people. They're not dangerous. I'm telling you now, compared to other things that you have to encounter every day, Satanists should be the least of your worries.
Investment bankers pose more of a threat than Satanists.
Exactly.
We can actually ask tomorrow. Mark Cook's coming in. He performs exorcisms and stuff like that. I think he might know more about this.
Perfect. Perfect timing. All right, let's speak to him. Good point, Flex. That's nice. Did you arrange that before, or is this something you just made happen now?
I could be psychic. I could have known this chat was going to happen.
Powers.
He also, I think somebody told me that he's been abducted by an alien before as well.
Oh, okay. Well, he's got to come in and tell us about that.
I'm all in.
He'll be on tomorrow.
Excellent. Sia's excited about that.
As long as he can get our little Shaka Khans aligned, then we're good.
Yeah. I don't think he does that, but he'll definitely expunge all the demons from you.
I wonder if he can teach us how to perform an exorcism. That'd be cool.
Because we'll need to do it regularly, right? You know? Anyway. All right.
Okay.
So this guy says dildos are bad. Well, dude, I know lots of women who say the opposite.
South Africa's not having any of it, because women here are even buying sex toys on credit.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep preaching your stuff about how it's an evil, demonic thing. I know lots of girls who would much rather have that dildo in their life than your preaching.
Okay. In a lot more serious and mature stuff, adoptive parents here at home in this country might be legally able to return adopted children. Ooh. The Constitutional Court has dismissed an application by the Registrar of Adoptions for permission to appeal a decision by the Joburg High Court to rescind a stepfather's adoption order, finding that the application had no prospect of success. What the High Court did was they granted this Joburg stepfather's application for his adoption of his former wife's children to be rescinded 6 years after the adoption order was granted. And so the decision has raised concerns among child rights proponents, as well as the Department of Social Development. They say that this ruling sets a precedent where basically adoptive parents will have the option of returning unwanted children.
Why shouldn't you?
We're going into very dangerous territory here.
I have no problem with that. I mean, if you get a dud child, you adopt a kid, ends up being a problem child. Like, let's say it's possessed by demons. You want to give it back and get another one. If I go to Macro and I buy a canoe, one of those inflatable canoes, and it has a hole in it, I take it back to the Macro and they give me a new one. You should be able to do that with kids.
No, actually.
No?
No, you shouldn't, Gary.
Oh, okay. I stand corrected.
So the Center for Child Law says that they are deeply disappointed with the Concord's decision. In an affidavit submitted to the Constitutional Court, the Department of Social Development said the ruling contravenes the principle of permanency and made it possible for applications to rescind adoptions to be granted after the two-year expiry period. What is concerning is that the precedent is set. This opens the door for other people who want the courts to set aside their adoptions if they feel that they can no longer take care of the children. Wow. I mean, can you imagine how messed up that poor child is going to be?
You know,
they get adopted, and then the parents like, actually, can I return? And then what?
Hey, little Johnny, we adopted you, but your dad and I have had a chat, and well, we're actually your adopted dad and mom, but you know, we don't want you anymore. I'm going to take you back to the orphanage and to the parents who really didn't want you in the first place. Thanks for coming. Bye bye.
There's a fine line between returning the adopted baby and the adoption agency taking the adopted baby back. I think they need to phrase it that the adoption agency may take the adopted baby back if you cannot take care of the baby anymore.
Right.
No, but this specific ruling that was made is on a case where a father decided that he no longer wants to take care of these children, and so the court have allowed him that option to say, I don't want these children anymore. And this is after 6 years of having been with these kids.
You see, but that I understand, because isn't he divorcing the mother?
Yes, there's a divorce.
You see, so that's fine, and he's not being like this heartless monster. If, for example, you just jumped on to the whole Angelina Madonna train and you adopted this little black baby from Malawi and now you're like, actually, no, don't like that. That then needs to be reassessed and discussed properly.
Yeah, which is what the social development people are saying, is that you are now opening up possibilities for situations like that to happen, where parents can just change their mind if they feel like it for whatever reason and it will be okay.
Hey, can I ask you something? What do you think of this? Sweden has just introduced something. This is amazing.
Mm.
You know, we talk about how in abortion situations, the woman should be the one who decides, you know, it's her body, and as long as it's done within the first trimester or whatever, you know, abortion should be legal.
Mm.
I think we're all agreed.
Yeah.
Certainly what we're not saying is what Donald Trump said the other day, that women should be punished for having an abortion. In Sweden, which is the most progressive and liberal country, they're introducing legislation now where the man can decide to abort his legal rights to a child within the first trimester if he decides to do so.
Sure. Okay.
So
if the woman is allowed to abort a child, then the man can also be allowed to decide that he wants nothing to do with that child if
right.
he doesn't want it.
Right. So if she wants the kid and he doesn't, he could say, fine, you go ahead and have the kid, but I abort all legal rights. He's never allowed contact with a child after that because it's like giving up your kid for adoption.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to pay for anything. He's out of the picture. You know, in a responsible country, you can pull this off. In a country like ours, where fathers are hardly ever found anyway.
Deadbeat dads.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this changes nothing because absent fathers have been doing this since day one.
But at least you can still sue them for maintenance and stuff.
Oh, so if he aborts his legal rights, you can't...
Correct. So the woman can actually abort the child.
Wow.
But up to now, the man's rights haven't come into it.
Yeah.
So if you're a father, but you don't want to be a father, within a certain amount of time, there's a window period, just like there is for an actual abortion, the mother can decide, look, I don't want to have the kid, she can abort the child, father has no say. But if you're the father, now you have the first trimester to decide whether you actually want to legally have this child or not.
Oh, well, then you know what that's going to give rise to eventually.
Oh, yes.
Is women withholding that information.
Correct.
From the father.
Absolutely.
So I don't tell you in the first trimester. I tell you afterwards where I can force you to pay maintenance.
Exactly. Look, that's if you're a trickster and a sneaky pain in the backside. You're a horrible person. Basically. But if you're a good person, you'll be honest about these things. You could only pull this off in Sweden, where I don't think that anyone's told a lie since the 700s. You know?
People in Sweden don't lie.
But how do you like that?
That's interesting.
Hey, I see Chris Vick will be on with Andrew Levy and Rory Sung Chabalala later on.
Uh-oh.
They'll be talking politics on cliffcentral.com a little bit later.
And frankly speaking.
Yeah, Chris Vick. He says, I will be on cliffcentral.com at 9 o'clock with some guy called Yebo Levy. They broadcast on the internet. Oh, Chris Vick, your comedic skills have always been the most important thing about you, which is why I couldn't wait to offer you a job here. Who else have we got?
Okay.
Who else have we got? What else have we got?
Can we talk about Prince William and Kate Middleton visiting India?
Yeah, we haven't.
India?
We haven't spoken about them in ages. Why? Because they're really boring.
But this is what I love. This is hilarious to me. So, you know, the royals, they're very uppity. They try to be classy. They're visiting India, going around to different parts of the country. Well, now they've actually had to reassess and to change up their plans slightly because they were initially meant to visit this little town called Bhutan. But they can't anymore because ever the so classy pair, Bhutan is known for believing in these giant murals which aid in facilitating infertility. Okay, Bhutan.
Starting, just tell me the story.
Right?
You're reading this to me. Just tell me the story.
So this town believes in these murals that are all about aiding in fertility and warding off evil spirits and dispel gossip. But these murals are actually giant penises.
Oh, okay. You know, okay, carry on.
All over the town, you get these 10-foot-tall graphic images of penises.
So what, Kate doesn't know what a penis is?
So they don't like that because the royals will now be standing near penises and pictures are taken. They're too classy for that. the penises are literally all over this town. There's like these wooden erections which are near temples.
What a great town, Mubs.
What they need to do is go to Japan where they have an annual penis festival.
They will not be seen anywhere near
where the phallus is celebrated.
Worshipped.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what's the worst that'll happen is William and Kate will be posing with their big toothy grins because they're such boring. They really are the most boring people on earth. I love the Queen. I love Prince Charles. I think he's a bit wacky. Talks to plants. You know, he's a bit of a nutcase. I like eccentric people. But William and Kate are so middle class. They really are the most middle class royal people I've ever seen in my life. They don't even speak like aristocrats anymore. If there was any breeding in them, they now sound like county cricketers. Both of them.
And
such boring people.
And I think they worked hard for that, to achieve that, because they want to be seen as, I am just like you,
right,
the common person.
Exactly, my buddy. You've nailed it on the... this William is... He may as well live in a townhouse next door to all of us. Some king he's going to make. Mm. A king is meant to be a little bit different, you know? They're meant to think, hey, I was born a king. You're a peasant. Shut up. That's how a king should think. You can see Prince Philip has no bones about that. He thinks we're all peasants. Prince Philip hates us all. He thinks we're in the way, and we should get to work for him.
So these two should just pose with the penises.
They should do whatever they want. If Kate wants to ride the penis, she should say, I am going to be queen one day. I demand that you clear the village of all the poor people and let me ride the penises.
But right? I think this town goes a bit too over the top with their whole love for penises. There are houses literally with
when
penises
you say that,
dangling
that's some...
from the... Exactly.
Sure.
No.
Wow.
They even have tiny penises on rear view mirrors in cars. Like, come on, you guys. No, that's...
Oh, it's like it's their symbol, man. I mean, what difference is that between... what difference is there between that and people having a pendant of the Moses Mabhida Stadium if they're proud of being from Durban? Nothing wrong with that. It's just a symbol.
So let's all visit Bhutan then. And the town of the penises.
And then Japan. I still want to go to Japan.
Imagine the kids have little school bags shaped like penises walking to school off bus, single file.
But you see, it's only a problem if you sexualize it and you make it a problem. If you make it something embarrassing. Otherwise, it's just another symbol. You know, it's like having a symbol of the what we were talking to Rich about the other day. You put a symbol on a toilet door and it means men go in here and women go in there. And clearly that's a problem to politically correct people, but only if you have that mindset. Otherwise, it's just a toilet door. I mean, my Mabala's wearing a butterfly in her hair today. It's looking very pretty.
Thanks.
And, you know, to some people, a butterfly might be a very offensive thing for some weird, ungodly reason. But if she was wearing a clip with a penis in her hair, you'd immediately assume, oh, she's on a bachelorette party at Movida.
I saw gossip mags yesterday going crazy over Kate Middleton because she went to some shrine where you have to take off your shoes, and she didn't have a manicure. And that was headlines.
But you see, that's her trying to be common again.
Mm.
I really wish someone would sit down with... Because you see, Harry would make a better king. Because you can see Harry's got some character, and he's not trying to be as bland as possible.
It's a bit too wild, though.
That's cool.
Those Vegas nights?
Yes. Awesome. Because, you know, a king shouldn't give a damn about what the ordinary people think. Not to the extent that it ruins their personality. I mean, William might have once been an interesting person, but he's been rolled flat. He's got about as much character and personality as any dude you'd walk into on the street. Mm. You wouldn't know he was the king. Wears those dowdy suits. Has that toothy grin. He's going bald, which is terrible.
Shame. And he's not... I mean, he's what, 33?
He doesn't even look good anymore. I mean, Harry still looks... You know, he's a good-looking dude. He's been in the army. He's the kind of guy you'd go, yeah, I need you in my life because if the zombies do come, you would be the guy to protect. William, you'd feed him straight to the first zombie.
But that's because Harry doesn't have anything to live up to. He doesn't. His grandmother doesn't say, Harry, you have to walk straight with your back straight.
Right. And that's what his grandmother was. She was never meant to be queen. Mm. And look what a great queen she's made. You go for the obvious candidate and you always end up with a disaster. Oh, good luck to England. The most mediocre middle class place on earth. Good luck to all of you. Take away from the top and you take away from the bottom and when you end up with a whole homogenous society of dullards. Good luck.
Oh, that's the word of the day. Dullards?
D-U-L-L-A-R-D-S. Some people say dullards. dullards, it's fine.
Oh, a slow, stupid person.
Basically, Ben, you could forget ever watching an episode of Downton Abbey in reality anymore. Doesn't happen.
No, the dream died when the show died. Yeah, so, move on.
All right. Now, let's move on with news.
So, often in this country, you know, people will be given small little freebies come election time.
a lot
of the time it comes in the form of T-shirts. Over in South Korea, Gareth, they do things a little bit differently. Elderly men in South Korea have allegedly been given erectile dysfunction drugs to buy their votes in legislative elections. South Koreans go to the polls today in an election already overshadowed by North Korean nuclear threats and economic difficulties. And it has been discovered that they're allegedly giving elderly South Korean men sex pills in exchange for their votes.
Sex pills?
Sex pills, Gareth, because in South Korea, erectile dysfunction drugs are a prescription medication. And prosecutors say that they're going to be investigating how the unnamed candidates are allegedly in possession of so many of these sex pills, and they're just dishing them out to men everywhere. Well, elderly men.
If it gets you to the polls.
If it gets you a poll.
Right.
Sorry, yeah.
let's get out there with sex pills. Imagine, there are a lot of older people in kind of the rural parts of this country. They've never had a sex pill. They must be desperate to get it on. You gave them a sex pill, they'd vote for you. I'm talking to you, EFFDA, UDM. You need to convert those people. Cope. Cope with their three members of parliament. Did you hear they stormed out of parliament? They're all three of them.
Mm.
People must have been devastated. What are they going to do with all that space? What are they going to do?
They're going to move the three chairs out the way and put in a pot plant.
I want more Siwa's desk. Oh, okay. Oh, you get the best one. I'll get the one behind him with the two guys who no one knows. Cope left Parliament. They decided they didn't want to be a part of it until the president was removed. So this might take a while. And do they still get paid if they walk out of Parliament?
That's a good question.
Because I think it's a good principle decision if that is what it is, but then they shouldn't be paid. You know, you can't leave work, not pitch up for work, and say, oh no, well, I disagree with the conditions of work. And then expect to be paid. Jared says, I miss the days when your king would have to prove himself by winning a battle. Yeah, that's right. And Cindy says, Harry is not exactly 100% royal. Now, is he? I think what Cindy's referring to is like there's that rumor that Princess Diana was sleeping around, which we know she might have been.
Well, you've got a balding, fair-haired guy and a full bush of ginger hair.
Yeah, but you can see Harry's Charles's child. You could see it. They look the same. They've got similar facial features. Harry looks a lot like his grandfather as well, Philip. So I don't believe for a second that there's any kind of... And you could see Harry and William are brothers. I mean, they clearly are brothers, but they just ended up with... One ended up with the good genes, and the other one ended up with the horrible genes.
But also, the fooling around on Diana's part probably would have started after she gave birth to both of them. Because, you know, initially you're still being bombarded with your duties. Yeah.
Plus, if Muhammad Al-Fayed or whatever his name was and Diane had a child, the child would have looked like Muhammad Al-Fayed. It would have been very different to Harry.
I heard that Zayn Malik was actually Princess
Diana. Oh, there you go.
Zayn Malik is the love child.
That's why he left One Direction, because people were starting to realize.
Okay, yeah. I got you. But still, I'm terribly concerned. What are we going to do with all this space in Parliament now that Cope have walked out?
Well, I mean, what do you want to do with it, Gareth? Do you want a
jacuzzi bath?
A vending machine?
I don't know if we want... As long as none of that gets televised. I don't want to see any of our MPs in a jacuzzi bath in Parliament. Not one of them.
A coat rack.
Come on, surely, now that Cope have made up all three of them left, there must be a huge amount of space left there. Let's fill it up. Let's do something with it. What else is in the news?
What's the highest that you have ever been after an operation of sorts? So they knock you out with anesthetic and then you come to and you get told by the people around you that you were saying weird things or doing weird things. I've never had this experience.
I don't know, but, you know, I do love the feeling of going under. And the last time it happened was ages ago. But that feeling of just, you want to fight the sleepiness, and you try and fight it, but it just takes you. It envelops you. It sucks you in. You have the most beautiful sense of loss of capacity, and you just slide into this warm, fuzzy, bizarre world where you kind of don't have any conception of reality anymore. I love that feeling.
Okay. So I guess it's exactly that these two brothers were trying to exploit, was zero conception of reality. Because what's happened is two brothers mm-hmm. knew that their baby sister was going in to have her wisdom teeth removed, right?
Right.
Now, I don't know if this girl is particularly susceptible to anesthetic or if they use, like, extra, extra strong stuff.
Yeah.
So these two decided to play a prank on her after she came out of having her teeth removed. And they basically made it seem as though the zombies were coming and they were in the middle of a zombie apocalypse and she's high out of her mind when this happens.
All right, so let's get this straight. This young lady is going in to have her wisdom teeth taken out.
Yes.
And when she wakes up, they're going to tell her that the zombies have come.
Yes, and they have gone to extreme lengths to try and make it seem so, Gareth.
All right, here it is. Listen to this.
If you aren't ready and ride this out, we'll let you know.
The Center for Disease Control in Washington, D.C. has issued a viral outbreak warning. State and local officials have reported cases of high fever, nausea, death, and even cannibalism. Stay in place until further notice.
So they've obviously made up this fake radio broadcast yes. while they're driving her home. And the poor girl's looking concerned, but she hasn't yet started to scream. So.
What the heck? Did you...
I was just driving like a slug to get to the house.
Hold on, Mom's calling. Hey, did you just get that emergency alert? Yes?
You need to get home right now. I got notice from the emergency broadcast system. There's some sort of a weird virus that'll break into this.
Okay, I'm pulling the driver right now.
What is that? You asked for it.
And she's ashamed. Her mouth is full of cotton wool and stuff, so the poor girl's suffering.
Why can't we start going now?
Okay, there's Barry. He's got the Jeep.
Yeah.
Don't move.
Now the brother gets out and runs away from the car. And she's left in the car on her own. Poor girl.
This is zombies.
Zombie.
Police are coming or something. And
yeah, it's literally all over the news.
Have it. A garden hoe isn't what we want. We have guns. Why are you putting garden equipment
all right, I'll go get the guns.
In the car?
Guns.
You're going to need to defend yourself. I can't be with you the whole time. Okay? Look, this is how you use it. Safety's right here. Pull this. Try it. I need you to see you do it, okay? You got to hold it up if anything comes. Hold the weapon. Hold it up. No, hold it up. Hold it up, okay? You got it? Okay, I'll be right back.
He's giving her like a weapon.
What is this supposed to do for me? Give me a knife.
She's got a knife. She wants a knife, and she's got the cat on her lap in the car. And they decided now they're going to gap it because they have to get away from the zombies, right?
How am I supposed to defend myself?
We can only take one pet. Which pet? The cat or the dog?
The cat!
Okay.
Idiot!
Okay.
No!
What do we do with the dog?
He's the worst! He's already dying! Just leave him!
Okay,
get the cat!
The dog is old. It's the worst. He's already dying.
Okay, I'll take the cat.
Cat's looking very proud.
Mom said we're leaving the dog.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Dad said that since he's in Las Vegas, that he's close to Mexico and he wants us to meet him in Mexico. How good is your Spanish still from high school?
I can say pants.
Millicent, we can only take Funfetti or chocolate cake. Which one
it's
do we take?
Funfetti.
Do you want Funfetti or chocolate?
Why do we need that?
Which? No, Millicent, this is important. This will be what we're living off of. Which one? Funfetti, chocolate. Do you think Costco? Should we go to Costco first?
No, it's going to be a bloodbath in there.
She's probably right. She's probably right. Millicent, what about Mexico?
Why do I have to be on this side?
Millicent, what about...
Shame, after driving around for 5 more minutes.
Millicent, you know where we're going to go? We're going to go back home, and you're going to get in bed, and you're going to sleep for the next couple hours, because there's no zombie apocalypse.
Oh.
Poor girl.
All right, we're going to go let you get in bed.
Brothers are so mean, you know.
Why so mean?
This poor girl, she's just woken up from... an operation to have her wisdom teeth out, and her two evil sons of bitches brothers
But I mean, how strong is that medication, whatever it is that they gave her?
Oh, well, listen, it takes you a while to come out of the grogginess. Sia, did your sisters ever pull any tricks on you like this?
See, no, my sisters were just plain horrible, full stop, for no reason. They've never done anything strategic like this. Like,
they were just mean.
I remember one Christmas in particular, I had received, like, remember those Game Boy thingies with batteries and there were little different games set and programmed into the thing? And I was, that's literally all I ever wanted the entire year. So one of my sisters was a bit too annoyed that I was a bit too happy in her books.
Yeah.
So she took it and she popped it into the microwave. She said, take one step and I'll press start. I thought she was joking. And I took that step, and in about like less than 30 seconds, there was...
a disaster.
No Game Boy.
Shame, Sia.
That's terrible.
That, you know, this is one of the many reasons why I still need therapy.
Well, Ben had to... he had younger siblings, but he had to kill them and leave them outside.
Yeah. There could only be one.
Someone had to survive, and it was Ben.
Yeah. That's I have bad dreams. I'm often having night terrors, but hey, I'm still here.
All right. But yeah, Flax, you were going to say something about waking up after surgery.
When I went for my wisdom teeth, I was so out of it when I woke up. I shared a room with some dude that was going in for his, and his mom was there. And for about 30 minutes, I begged his mom to go and get me Nando's. Just non-stop, please, I'm begging you. I know you don't know me, but please go get me Nando's.
Wow, that was your thing, that was your craving.
It was really funny, apparently.
Carl says if you say election day, like it is in South Korea today, with a Korean accent, you get erection day.
Okay.
That's why they're handing out those free sex pills in Korea.
All right.
And Roman says, Roman says that Diana had an affair with James Hewitt, and then... he sent pictures of Harry and James Hewitt and compares them, and they do look kind of like father and son.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Cindy sent the same picture where they look like father and son. And then Jonathan Witt says, that stuff is called propofol, Gareth. Michael Jackson loved it too.
Oh.
Because I described how much I loved that feeling of going under. And Avishkar says, after ankle surgery, I started fighting with the nurses because I couldn't feel my leg and I thought they'd amputated it. That's always a funny, that's a funny story to tell people when they wake up. Oh, where's your leg? And they go, oh, what? They amputated your leg. Oh, my God, they put you in the wrong operation. What? Gift Dichole says, if Kulubuse Zuma was an MP, they could take out the three chairs where Cope sat, put in an extended three-seater couch, and Kulubuse could be there. But luckily for all of us, Kulubuse is not an MP. I don't know if you've seen those pictures. I was reading an article online last week about Kulu and how he rides around in Gandla on the four-wheeler.
The quad bike?
Yeah, quad bike, that's yeah. Right. And he's got a very fancy-looking quad bike, I've got to tell you. And he grooves around the whole of Gandla on this quad bike. Seen the pictures?
Yes, I have.
Ben, as a guy who likes cars, I mean, this is an impressive piece of machinery.
You've got to wonder, the structure of this thing is amazing.
Just because it can hold him up.
Yeah. I mean, it's ginormous. You really can't put a family on that.
Jared says, I had tonsils removed when I was young. I was only allowed to eat jelly and ice cream to soothe my throat, and my brothers ate it all while standing right in front of me.
Oh.
See? Cruel.
Hang on. Is it true? Because I've heard that after having your tonsils taken out, you should be eating dry toast.
I can't remember. I had my tonsils out when I was a kid.
Custard, ice cream, jelly.
I don't remember.
That's what I had when I had them out.
I don't remember.
With the reference to Kulubuse's quad bike, yes. So I'm looking closely at it, and it's got back support, which means it's a two-seater, but it looks like a one-seater.
Oh, wow. So it's actually a two-seater
He's
car.
He's occupied both.
They've taken out the other seat.
No, the other seat's there. He's just on it as well.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's a bench. It's like a park bench, right?
Basically.
Wow.
Wow, Kulu, but he's a big man. Kulubuse. I think Kulubuse might be within the 10 biggest people in South Africa in terms of sheer size.
Yeah, you see, because over in America, it's such a normal scene that, you know, if you watch certain shows, it's quite the normal thing to see overweight, obese people being like taken to hospital and but having to be removed from their homes with cranes and
stuff. That's knocked down walls.
That's not a big thing in this country.
They have to smash down the entire building to get them out. And they pull them out with a big crane.
Can you imagine?
Well, what kind of a life have you got when you're that big, you know?
Exactly.
If you ever look up Google image pictures of like the world's fattest man and woman, oh, I'll tell you what, you get very depressed. It's just a big organism. Well, I mean, there's no other way to describe these poor people. They don't have a life. They can't move. They're constantly complaining because they can't move. They always have bed sores.
Mm.
Oh, it's disgusting. The worst way to live. And they just lie there and eat.
You see, and then you get those people who get off on that, like the feeders of the relationship, who want someone to look like that.
Yep. Now that, look, we all love food. I can understand you wanting to eat, but to be a feeder, that's a whole different level of crazy. Like you want to make that person so dependent on you, I suppose, that they can't exist without you. It's very bizarre. It's like a control thing. So Anushka says, I would have had an affair, and we're jumping around a bit with the news this morning, but we always do. I would have had an affair within 2 seconds of being married to Prince Charles. That's what Anushka says.
Yes. Anushka,
don't worry. He already was, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Camilla.
Chasitwe says, I'm listening to cliffcentral.com on the app Mabalimoloi. My daughter had hers removed and toasted bread and ice cream were the things that they suggested for her. It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, see, I knew I'd heard that before, but I don't know if it's one of those myths or like old wives' tales or if it's a legit instruction that you should be having dry toast after having your tonsils removed.
I think the ice cream helps with the bruising because it's going to be bruised and swollen and it's like putting ice on it basically from the inside. I think that's the reason why.
Who knows? None of us are doctors. Maybe ask Dr. Jonathan Witt. Here is Dan Nickel. Now Flax went to his show yesterday. The Dan Nickel Show, which is on Supersport, and we were talking to Dan. He was our guest yesterday. He brought in Khan from the Parlatones, and Flax went to watch the show recording. How was it there? What was the atmosphere like? What kind of studio setup is it?
So Dan's got a cool show, but I've never been so bored in my life watching it being produced. The stopping, the starting, let's redo that.
Television, my friend.
You sit in this uncomfortable seat with like maybe 30 or 40 strangers, and then it takes like an hour and a half I sat there. Clap, guys, smile, guys, be quiet, guys. Clap, guys, smile, guys, be quiet, guys, non-stop.
Yeah, that's TV, huh?
So much fun being on TV. Isn't it glamorous?
Honestly, I'd much prefer to be on the other end of that. But then you get Nando's at the end, which is quite nice.
They have to bribe you with something, yeah?
It was very nice. You get like
who else wants to give up their Tuesday evening?
I saw, what's it? Amla?
Hashim
Amla. Yeah. Very cool dude. Overall, I'd give it probably a 6 out of 10 experience. Show would get like an 8 out of 10.
All right, well, you know, I mean, I'm glad you went. You get to experience TV from the point of view.
I went there at half past 4, got home at 8.
Right. And did they film just one episode?
One episode.
Wow.
You see? Mm. That is why I hate television. I will not do a TV show again.
Oh, okay.
I promise you now, bring me a Bible, Sia. Of all things that are holy, this is the last show I'm going to be involved in.
Do you know how many times you have said this, Gareth?
It's enough. I keep being talked into it, and then I have to sue the television business. It's enough. Come out.
Three and a half hours.
It's finished.
Four.
3.5 hours, bro. How long's the show? It's an hour long.
Which is essentially 45 minutes of airtime.
They call that stuff that they cut, they say that falls on the cutting room floor. Some poor editor has to pour through it and chop it up. Anyway, let's get into it. Here is here's Flax doing a little interview after the show.
Dan, tell me, is Dale Hayes your gym partner?
No, Dale's a little quick for me, but I'm working on my explosive speed, and I hope to be able to complete a 10-second exercise as fast as Ben does, as Mrs. Ben says on a regular basis.
All right, now let's just give you the behind the scenes here. Ben Karpinski, who is our sports expert, and ENCA last night called him a rugby analyst. Ben wrote a couple of questions down because he's known Dan for a long time.
No, yeah, you did. Michael.
No, well, okay. You gave him some ideas.
I gave him some pointers, yeah.
I know that you'd emailed each other in the afternoon. And Bennett said, you know, rag him about this and this and the other. Dale Hayes is a very unfit human being, right? Dale Hayes, where he plays golf. He's a bit of a golf legend.
Yeah, he was. He was a golfing legend, yeah. But also just more of a buffet king.
All right. So the first question, designed to insult poor old Dan Nickel. Let's go on.
If you had a choice between interviewing Gary Player or Jesus, who would you choose?
Is there a difference?
The Proteus Fireball music video. Were you upset in not making the cut for it?
I actually did a lot of the choreography and lent Fuff Duplessis the leopard print outfit.
Bobby Skinstadt. Was he the most beautiful Springbok we ever had?
I'd have to go with Yanni De Beer.
You seem to have a lot of celebrity sports friends. Are they just better than ordinary people?
Definitely, particularly when compared to, say, junior part-time interns doing sport on the breakfast show at Cliff Central.
Wow. Trying to hit back. But wait, there's more.
After watching your show live, I just want to know how much of it was modeled on the Graham Norton show.
Well, obviously, I'm a lot more flamboyant than Graham. He's a lot more withdrawn, and I look better in purple suits.
Are you hoping that if the show goes well, you could get a job on Supersports Blitz like Derek Albert or Richard Maspero?
What a horrible thing to ask him. What was his reaction at this point?
This set him over the edge, eh? His face changed. He started going red. I thought, let me get the hell out. This was my final question. I knew this took him to the edge.
So let's just recap. This is the question. This is a very insulting question because, I mean, who would want to end up doing that stuff on Supersport Blitz?
Are you hoping that if the show goes well, you could get a job on Supersports Blitz like Derek Albert or Richard Maspero?
I'm nowhere near as beautiful as Derek Albert, and I'm nowhere near as beautiful as Richard Maspero's wife, so I think I'll have to make do with the Dan Nickel show.
Oh, you'll never be invited back.
You got to know when to tap out, and that was it, eh? After that, I was getting hit.
All right, very good. Flex back at his worst. You can get away with this stuff. I don't know anyone else who can.
You got to read body language. If you see a hand flying towards you, it means that you're over.
It's done, huh? All right, well, don't forget, we have a very special guest coming in. In fact, she was one of our first guests here on CliffCentral.com within our first week or two, Ruda Landman, who I actually saw her a while ago. She's busy with a show called For Anerdinger. It's a really interesting show. It provides a glimpse into the lives of interesting South Africans, women, what inspires them, what motivates them, what their daily challenges are, and they've met some incredible people. But Ruda herself is an incredible woman, so we're looking forward to catching up with her and finding out what's going on. You know, what she thinks of the current situation and plenty of other good stuff. She's absolutely one of those people in South Africa who's instantly recognizable anywhere she's gone. And people probably stop her in the street. I'm sure they do. I think that it must be a nightmare for poor Ruda to go shopping. People say to her, you know, I remember an episode of Carte Blanche 26 years ago. Ruda, do you remember that one of the gorillas? And she goes, oh, for God's sake, yes. Yes, I remember that. And they go, yes, because it was very brave of you to sit with those gorillas. Yes, I remember. Yeah, it's very good. Now, I need to go to the baked beans section. Can you please let me go through? Thank you, Mrs. Swanepoel. And then she makes her way. It's hard to be on TV. People don't realize. It's very tough. Hugo says, tonsils removed. Need to eat toast first to ensure that when the child goes home, they will be able to eat, or else they have to stay in hospital and get intravenous intake of electrolytes, etc. Ah. But if the kid eats the toast, it's okay for them to go home, and then it's jelly and ice cream.
Okay.
Thank you for clearing that up, Hugo. Carl says, Gareth, you're a slut. You'll definitely be on TV again. You say that every year. They'll throw money at you and you'll take it. We'll see about that, Carl. Roman says, talking about jumping around, catch the latest Renegade Report on iTunes and Cliff Central. We discuss why feminism is cancer.
Hey.
There's no shortage of controversy on the Renegade Report. And by the way, that does remind me that you can always subscribe to any of the shows on CliffCentral.com. Just go onto iTunes, go to podcasts, look it up. In fact, you don't even go to podcasts. Just type in Cliff Central on the search bar to find all of our programs. And you can download them You can subscribe to them and then it does it automatically and you'll have all the freshest podcasts on your device every morning. Wouldn't that be nice? You don't need to think. The point of technology working for us is that you don't want to have to waste time and think about things like that. It should just happen, right, Ben?
Completely, Gareth. Very much so.
All right, here's an email. Let's get to a few of these just before we get to Ruda. This one is from Gracia. Gracia says, "Hey, Gareth and team. Firstly, I love you guys in the show. I've been a fan since 5FM and when I was 13, now I'm 22. Still a huge fan. All the years of listening, I've never felt the need to write an email before. But listening to the show on Monday, there were some things that bothered me. I'm not really easily offended, or I don't expect the show to be PC, but the reality check with Rich Mulholland was so cringy and full of transphobia that I really couldn't bring myself to listen to it in its entirety. I'm disappointed that none of you guys seem to debate or correct some of the really ignorant statements that were being made. I know Rich repeated that he supports the transgender community, but listening to that, it didn't sound like it. Being trans isn't a new concept or fad most of the time. You can't even tell if a person's trans. And even if you could, it's none of their business. It was ignorant, slightly nasty, guised as concern about pervy young men and creepy pedophiles entering the girls' bathroom pretending to be trans, or using being trans as an excuse to look at women in the change room. You said so yourself when the issue was brought up in the news that nobody cares. You don't go into the bathroom to make friends or to look at what other people are doing. When you had that trans girl on your show, you were welcoming and accepting. It's disappointing that you allowed such condescending language to be used in terms of allowing Rich to misgender her or use the wrong pronouns and make fun of the fact that she called her penis a female penis. Do you remember that?
Mm.
I just wish you guys didn't let the negativity go on as long as you did. The comments were trivializing the fact that there are many young people who struggle with their sexuality and are bullied for being different and no one actively seeks out to make their lives more difficult. But it seems like a moot point since we don't have such laws in our country. I know that I'll probably make you very bored with this email, or you'll stop reading halfway. I'm actually going all the way to the end. I mean, I have so many other things to say, but maybe another time. I love, love, love the team. You guys are awesome. Sorry, my first email's a bit of a downer. Have a fantastic day, you all. And that's from Gracia. All right. Well, Gracia, you know what? I read the whole thing because I thought it deserved attention. And you bring up very obviously important and significant and relevant points, and I'm not going to argue with you. What I will say is that I don't tell Rich what to talk about in his segment. He comes in here, he's got his opinions. This all came about as a result of a story in America about bathrooms where transgender girls can go into the girls' bathroom, but they may have the anatomy of a boy and vice versa, and it became a whole thing. You've got to understand, Gracia, that a lot of people don't get any of this. They don't understand the first thing about it. To most people, it's a very binary conversation. You're either a man or a woman. That's what most people understand. And for 0.03% or whatever it is of the population, this is the most important thing in the universe to them. So when you have a huge proportion of the population who don't understand the first thing about something, and you have a tiny proportion of the population who understand only that thing, or it becomes the central and most important thing, because to them, it's chief to their identity, you're bound to end up with a lot of controversy. I don't hate anybody. I don't think anyone should ever feel like they are being actively discriminated against. And no one should be discriminating against them. But we certainly can't live in a life where we have to handle everything with kid gloves, where everything has to be politically correct, and where someone who's sensible like you and someone who's sensible like me can't have an adult conversation about stuff and occasionally throw in some humor and maybe there's a misgendering or something, but it's not personal. Because otherwise we won't even talk to each other. I'll be so scared of saying the wrong thing that we don't have a conversation. And you'll be so keen to point out that I'm saying the wrong thing that you won't be listening to me. There's no point in that. I don't want to have those conversations here. But I love your email, and I love that you love us, and thank you for listening. I mean, if it really upsets you, you know, you can either come in here and do a show of your own, or you can never listen to us again. It's your choice. I'm not going to hold you to anything. I can't force you to listen. But if it's a big deal to you, and it seems like it is, maybe you should put together a show and come and host a show. Put your own program together. Let's see if you can get people talking about this and maybe open a few minds.
But also, I mean, I think it's also important to say that, certainly for myself, I don't agree with everything that Rich says. And when I don't agree, I'll ask a question. I specifically remember on Monday I said, but Rich, what about in a situation where a transgender person is made, you know, to feel unsafe in mm-hmm. said bathroom because people are ignorant? And I asked him that question. I mean, it's Rich's opinion, but we don't all share it and agree with it in that moment.
Well, I don't think it suited Gracia to remember that you said that, because she was probably so angry with Rich that she wasn't even listening to what you were saying. But the point is, I don't want to fight. I mean, Caitlyn Jenner's on the line anyway, and she wants to say something. So let's go to Caitlyn Jenner and see what she's got to say. Caitlyn, good morning.
Hi, Dad.
How are you?
I'm fine. What is your comment on all of this transgender discussion and the controversy of what Rich said and the fact that Bruce Springsteen is canceling a concert in North Carolina because of these bathroom rules? Which bathroom do you use, Caitlin?
Well, Dad, I used to use the men's bathroom. But now I prefer to go to the ladies.
Well, I mean, do women in the bathroom, the ladies' bathroom, complain about it when you come in there?
No, they're all my friends. We joke about all the things that women joke about, you know.
Periods.
What?
Well, you know, we sometimes have discussions around the things that we ladies like to do. And knitting. And
kittens.
and panties.
That sounds fascinating. You sound like you've really transitioned well, because all of those things are not at all stereotypical. I mean, it must be going well for you. I'm happy for you, Caitlin. Is the world of womanhood all that it was cracked up to be when you looked at it from the outside?
Well, the dresses are beautiful, and the award ceremonies, and the Kardashian
show where I'm now the main character. I got my own back on those bitches.
What?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Listen, Caitlin, we got to go, but I appreciate you calling in on this very sensitive issue.
Well, you know me. I don't mind
getting my hands dirty.
Oh, my.
Sorry.
You see, I sometimes forget that I'm both. I'm like Bruce. I mean, Caitlin.
What was I saying?
I don't know. What were you saying?
I was saying that I sometimes get my hands dirty. And sometimes
my giant feet.
Thank you, Caitlin. Caitlyn Jenner really does have the biggest feet I've ever seen on a human being. Forget about whether she's a transgender woman or anything else. Those feet are enormous, and they keep showing them on TV. It's like a hobbit.
I have never seen Caitlyn Jenner's feet.
They're unbelievable. She must wear a size 39 shoe. Big toes like Chipolatas. Big... Big chip and scuffed male heels. I mean, this, you know, Bruce was an Olympic decathlete. He could run, jump, fight, fuck, wheel a barrow, or drive a truck. This guy could do anything. The pole vault, hurdles, 100 meters, the mile. He could do all of it. He was a champion. So those feet have taken a pounding over the years. And they do not make shoes like that easily, for feet like that. I mean, he has to shop at some pretty interesting places, I reckon, in downtown L.A. to get shoes like that made.
So, according to wikifeet.com, which is...
Sorry, what?
No. Wikifeet.com.
No.
Wikifeet.
This is an actual website.
Yeah.
Caitlyn Jenner is a size 13.
Wow. No way.
A U.S. size, mind you.
Wow.
Wikifeet.com.
What's a U.S. size 13?
I know South Africa uses the U.K. size.
Yeah. I'm a U.K. 10. I mean, I got pretty big feet, right? They're not huge. I got big feet, though. It's a 10. What do you got there, Mubs?
This is such a sore point for me. I have big feet, too.
Like Caitlin big? Tell us the truth.
Do you still have your penis as well?
What size shoe?
I'm a 7. I have big feet.
Is that big?
You know, generally for women, 5 is, seems to be the average number.
Size. You struggle
five.
To get shoes in the size that you want?
No, not at all. No. But I do have a complex about my feet.
No, I don't think you have to worry. I mean, I do know for a fact that Caitlin must really suffer to get the shoes
so
in her size.
A US 13 is a UK 12.
Okay, oh, that's not huge, but they look so enormous. They're really on TV, and she's always putting them up on the sofa, or I would keep them under the table. That's the one thing, because otherwise, you know, she's not she looks like, who's that actress? Remember, she complained about it. The actress complained that people were saying she looks just like Caitlyn Jenner.
Yes.
She used to be a very famous actress. And now, because Caitlyn is more famous, I suppose, to younger people who didn't know her when she was in her prime, they're all...
Jessica Lange.
Jessica Lange. This poor woman. She used to be the stunning, gorgeous Hollywood A-lister. And obviously, you know, time has taken its toll and she's... not on many movies anymore. In fact, I don't think she's done a movie since the 90s or 80s at least. And she is no longer famous for those things. And then someone said to her the other day, oh my God, you look like Caitlyn Jenner. What a horrible thing for this poor woman to have to face up to now. That the reason that she's even relevant is because she's being compared to Caitlyn, who transitioned from Bruce. You know? So here are a couple of comments, because I like to hear what you think of these things. Taryn says, everyone has their own opinion. Age and kids change that, and so does maturity. Are you saying I'm immature because I haven't had kids and I'm not old enough yet? Probably. Gracia, 22 years old. This is your opinion. Oh, it's right. It's for Gracia. Please wait another 10 years when you have kids and you'll find out how your opinion changes. Well, Taryn, that's also kind of condescending, because maybe Gracia is a very mature 22-year-old. You get... 22-year-olds are smarter than a lot of 50-year-olds I know. And you get some very young people who are very immature. I don't think that email was immature, and she certainly didn't have any spelling errors in it, which for me is the red flag that someone's not particularly smart. Roscoe says, I disagree with Gracia. I would be pissed if my 8-year-old daughter goes to the bathroom and a grown man walks in, too, in a dress. I'm with Rich. Because... All you need is a hectic incident to take place, and then fear-mongering kicks in. Yeah, but Roscoe, you're kind of starting that before it's even happened.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And that would be a kind of prejudice. I just don't ever want to get to the stage where we're not allowed to joke about things. Because then you know that you're being censored. And in an environment where you can't joke, you don't really have freedom.
Yeah.
You know, like we can't joke at the airport about bombs. Rightly so. But that does mean that you're not allowed to say certain things in that environment. You're not totally free in that environment. You also have to hop on a tube with a bunch of other people going to cough and splutter, and their children are going to scream, and they're going to annoy you, and they're going to be obese in the chair next to you and spilling over into your chair. It's an uncomfortable place to be. I do not want to live in an airport or in a plane. I prefer to live free. You know, around people I've chosen to be around.
Love and happiness.
Yeah, right. A little bit of a more pleasant environment. And all I'm saying is that even in civilized, sophisticated societies like ours, you must guard against where people try to tell you that you're not allowed to say certain things, or you're not allowed to think certain things. The minute they start climbing into your head and trying to regulate your thoughts, you're living in a George Orwell story. And George Orwell was the guy who warned us about all of this, 1984. You know, read the books. I would make that prescribed reading at school if I were an English teacher. Say, so just read George Orwell and you can go home. George Orwell for the first term, and you have the other three terms off. How about that? Now you can tell why I'm not in charge of the curriculum. All right, when we come back in a moment or two, Ruda Landmann will be our guest. I'm very excited to speak to her. She's probably horrified at all the things that she's heard here this morning already. Mind you, I think somehow Ruda's probably heard a lot worse. In fact, I'm almost willing to guarantee that Ruda has seen and heard everything that we don't even know exists. And she's just sitting there going, That's not even scraping the tip of the iceberg, Gareth. So, coming up in a moment, Rudo Landman, cliffcentral.com. It's just after 8 o'clock, 11 minutes after 8 to be precise, if that's what you're looking for. We'll take your calls, 0861-555-189. If you want to call in, if you want to message us, you can do so directly from the cliffcentral.com app. There is a button that you tweet to us on the screen, and it arrives right here in front of me. Warda says, I'm just going to close off with this. Did you see this comment, Muffs? Warda says, and this is the famous Warda.
Warda Hartley. Of the, no, she used to be on the Ladies' Roundtable, but what does she do now?
She says, Garrett, Mabali has big feet because her dick is so big. It all evens out. So there we go. Thank you very much. Thank you, Warda. Isn't that terrific?
Cliffcentral.com.